I'm here. You're here. Let's do this. Ladies and gentlemen and binary individuals, I am one half of your hosts of this podcast, the Ring the Bell podcast, where no one, and we mean no one, gets over. I am the Quarantine Dream, a.k.a. Just John. I have definitely lost my voice. I'm here in the same room, sharing oxygen with the man himself, P. Fitz's Robin. Speak to the people, P. Fitz.
We're here from the gloomy Chicago, Illinois, currently today, post All Out 2022, because there was just so much that we couldn't go over, and we needed you to hear our thoughts about, well, let's just get right into it, right, John? I mean, the elephant in the room is the CM Punk in the room. There's been comments made in the post-media scrum by Mr. Phil Brooks, CM Punk himself. They just kind of left a sour taste in our mouths, left a sour taste in pretty much the wrestling world's mouths. If you haven't listened to it, go back. It's on Instagram. It's on YouTube. But in short, he had called out Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Hangman Adam Page, Colt Cabana, name-dropped Colt Cabana by his shoot name.
His legal Christian name. As my girlfriend likes to say. First off, let me back up a little bit. Guys, shout out to my girlfriend, because she put up with all of the shenanigans from this week, from this weekend. And she's not the only one. There was my Big Homie Macaroni, his girlfriend, Norma. She was also in attendance. So shout out to these girls who are just even putting up with our dumbasses. So I definitely want to put them over right now. And I know we say no one gets over, but I'm going to put them over. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. I do mean that sincerely. I'm still tired, a little hungover, lost my voice. We actually recorded our own post-show media scrum before we even had knowledge of the CM Punk of it all. We didn't even know that had gone on. We made our way back into the city from Hoffman Estates from that show, and we continued to party a little bit, and we continued to, like, chop it up and talk nonsense. That episode is already available. Be warned, there is explicit language. I'm trying to keep this show clean, but that episode's explicit language because, again, we were still high off of the event. Again, unbeknownst to us at that time, we didn't know that CM Punk was losing his mind at the same time that we were doing what we were doing away from that. And to be honest, having read the transcript and looked at some of the clips and understanding what I've come to understand about the background of it all, I feel gross. So I just wanted to get on this podcast, speak to it more soberly. Is that a word? Soberly? Sober? 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 More sober? More sober? I want to be of sound mind when I spoke to you people because you deserve that much, right? You deserve that much. The CM Punk of it all, for me, it feels gross. You know, we talk from the hip. We shoot from the hip. We already had a long-form conversation about this that wasn't recorded. We're just here to speak to you for a while about what we spoke about literally 10 minutes ago. And I think it's gross. Anyway, P. Fitz, you lead the charge. I'll as I think I will come in. I don't know, man. It's all gross to me. I hate it. It's ridiculous.
So, Punk coming out. He has grievances with the company, called out by name, the three EVPs of Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, about the interactions, about rumors spiraling that he pronouns pal, CM Punk had gotten Colt Cabana fired, and that's why he's no longer in the company, and that this was a leaked rumor to protect their friend. As well as to protect Adam Page, and he called Adam Page out by saying that Hangman had gone into business for himself by airing that out for the world to hear live on television. It's a disgusting way that he did it. there's an understanding that if you are upset about something, you know, there was, this is an actual company, just like any one of us work at. There's ways to go about inter-coworker disagreements and discrepancies. And it going into a media scrum that has no business to be in a pro wrestling environment, like an actual media scrum. Talking to quote-unquote reporters that don't actually report anything, that most of the time make up more lies than they do, report actual facts. That's you, Dave Meltzer. For a story to get your...
That's a shot. You, Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. For the dirt sheets suck.
Yeah, they do.
For you to basically just create this narrative that has been going on for 12 years that no one cares about anymore. The only one that cares about it and the only people that should are the people that were directly involved, and yet you still sell your t-shirts at his store, CM Punk. So you clearly don't have a grievance with the man anymore when it benefits you, and you're allowed to feel any way you want, but there's no need to call out an EVP on a broadcasted media scrum. You're burying your company that's paying you. And shame on Tony Khan for turning around halfway through and trying to say, oh, I should have said no comment on this. Tony, you're the owner of this company. You're sitting there just looking like you just won a Make-A-Wish Foundation prize meeting John Cena, and yet you're sitting next to CM Punk, and then all of a sudden it hits you that, oh, yeah, I have to be an owner today. Don't do this thing. It's easy. Just don't do it. Yeah, and it doesn't. These problems don't happen. You signed the man, and we're all happy you signed him. We were all excited, but we've experienced nothing but a turnaround in the company morale, the company planning, the company future. And we've seen time and time again where there's been AEW originals that have become upset with your booking and your acquisitions. And for your quote-unquote your biggest signing in CM Punk to turn around and basically dismantle
that's the
three
word.
Of the four
that's
founders the of the company.
That's the word.
You know, as a fan, it's hard to watch. It's hard to look at. We want the company to succeed, and we want to have, you know, programming that we watch and we enjoy, this alternative that we were begging for, the alternative that Cody gave us, and yet we have this false reality of CM Punk just doing the same thing he's done in every company he's ever been part of, where it's all about Phil Brooks. It's all about Phil Brooks. It's about no one else. Coming out and saying when he was originally signed, he wanted to give back to wrestling. He wanted to help these younger fans. To turn around in the same media scrum and bury the younger generation and saying that they don't want to listen to him.
In the same breath.
That they don't want to work with him, that he doesn't want to work with them, that they don't listen to him. And calling Adam Page a dumbass.
More than that, he said worse, but yeah, it was it. Man, let me tag him for a minute. So, I'm trying to organize my thoughts and again keep this, you know, more simple. The reality is this. The reality of all of this is that we don't fully know the truth. We don't fully know the truth between CM Punk and Cole. Yes, there's stuff out there. You can do some research or some diligence. I don't know what the truth of that is. I don't care about what the truth of that is. It means nothing. The problem is that in 2022, and I think CM Punk lent a voice to this during this media thing, post-show thing, is to be dealing with this, you know, 12, 14 years later, whatever the hell it is now. I think it's 12 and a half years later, something like that.
Yeah.
To be dealing with this 12 and a half years later, it is embarrassing. But it's more embarrassing when you as a man, as an adult, don't know how to handle it. You've had 12 years to do it, dude. You've had 12 years to speak to this. And when some Giacomo reporter asks you a question and you just get triggered, and then you just have all this word vomit, and you just completely shoot all over the company, it's unprofessional, and it's disgusting, and it's gross. And it's not fair to the talent. It's not fair to the original vision of this company. Now, personally, I don't give a damn. I am glad that AEW exists. I'm not a super fan of AEW. I do like AEW. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad that the boys and girls can work there or WWE or wherever else they want to work. I'm glad that the landscape is a little healthier now. But this feels toxic. It's not fair for you to be the old guard, come into this company, and shit, excuse my French, I'm trying to clean it up, all over everyone. It just, why are we dealing with their dirty laundry, man? Why are we still dealing with their dirty laundry 12 years later? Why? It's unprofessional. It's stupid. You could have handled it like a man, like an adult, a lot better than what you did. It made no sense to say what you said about Hangman Adam Page. And again, I'm no real fan of his. I don't really care. But like, dude, really? Like this, I really, and then in the same breath, he says something to the effect, you guys can look it up on your own. He says something to the effect of, I hate working with these young kids. They think they know everything. I'm sick and tired of dealing with them. Blah, 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 blah. They would tell Terry Funk to go F himself if he was in this locker room right now. And I'm like, what? He's talking in circles. He's speaking in riddles. He's not speaking to the truth of the matter at all. It just feels gross. It feels really gross, and it's not fair for you to be taking up so much oxygen in the wrestling space right now. It's not fair to anyone busting their ass in the back of that locker room or WWE's locker room or New Japan's locker room or any other locker room. It is not fair for you to be the champion of that company taking up all of this oxygen and being so freaking toxic everywhere you go. And it speaks volumes to me, because this is where I get fired up. I don't even care that much about Cody Rhodes. I like Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, in that last work shooty promo that he had on AEW Dynamite after losing to Sammy Guevara in that ladder match, Cody spoke eloquently. He spoke like an adult. He spoke like a man without even naming names. He didn't call out. He didn't say CM Punk's name. He didn't say Tony Khan's name. But in that promo, go back and watch it, he spoke eloquently about the way he felt. And he felt it was not fair because he did all of this work as an architect to give us this company, to build this company. He sacrificed to build this wrestling alternative, this wrestling revolution. He sacrificed so much to get us there. And he's not by himself. Obviously, Tony Khan was always in the background, blah, 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 blah. That's not the spirit of what I'm trying to convey here. The spirit is Cody Rhodes busted his ass to give us an alternative, to give a real competition to the giants that is WWE. He gave us that. He sacrificed it. All the stuff that CM Punk ever bitched about in his past, Cody Rhodes went out and got it done while CM Punk sat on the couch. And CM Punk knows he sat on the couch, and Cody Rhodes knows what he's done and brought to the table. And Cody Rhodes spoke to that. And he also looked back and said, when Tony Khan got this new acquisition, he's paying these guys all this money. I'm up for a contract renewal. Pay me. Pay me what I'm worth. I did everything that guy wanted to do that he never did. So pay me accordingly. And he wasn't going to get paid. He wasn't going to get that valuation. He wasn't going to get that respect. And then Cody Rhodes ended up leaving the company. And that's a shame. And I can only imagine right now in this present moment that Cody Rhodes is looking at this situation, looking at what happened last night, and looking at this guy, CM Punk, and shaking his head being like, see, that's a grenade. That is a grenade. It's not fair to have all this toxicity in this new company that's barely what, five years old? 2019.
Three
years old? The company's only 3 years old, bro. And you're sinking the ship. And you're not the captain. And no one asked you to be the captain, by the way. You're sinking the ship, man. It's not, this isn't, I don't know. It's, and it also, and obviously fast forward to the MJF of it all. It's the same story with MJF too. He's the future of the company. All these acquisitions are coming in, making all this extra money that he's not making and taking up space on television. Like, your new talent, your original talent, should be elevated, and they're not being elevated. They're being stepped on. That's not the revolution that Cody spoke about.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any freaking sense, man.
Like I said,
like, get over yourself, CM Punk. Seriously, man, get over yourself. Grow up.
Like I said earlier, I can understand the frustration if there is rumors flying backstage and you're in this negative headspace because of the locker room is saying that, you know, and every talent saying, oh, Punk, you're the one that got Cole fired, and if he actually didn't. And that's what he's having to deal with. But to do so in the way, and to address it in the way he did is just incorrect.
He had 12 years to address this appropriately. Without all the profanity, with all the word vomit. Dude, he almost looked like he was drunk. I know he's not. He's straight edge, allegedly.
Yeah, no.
But like, he looked like he was drunk.
Not straight edge.
You were talking like a drunkard child baby. Like, it doesn't
you
make any...
You can't be straight edge and take a shot with Harley Race.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's not how that works.
It just doesn't make any sense.
He
had 12 years to speak to this even, like an adult,
even besides
in
a
proper manner, and he didn't do it.
This story is different than what had happened in the past. It just stemmed from the past. And like I said, if you're upset with the banter that's in the back of the locker room, and going to an EVP and addressing it with HR is how you would have to do it. There is an HR company or HR representative for AEW, unlike other companies that have. You know,
but speaking just to that, one of the things in the transcript I read, he says, if anyone's got a problem in the back, you know, come find me, fight me or whatever. It's like, dude, how old are you, man? Like,
well,
what's going
what
on?
Saying.
What is go? Get help. Stop it.
his
Jordan
idea,
meme. Get help. Stop it.
Yeah, his idea of how he handled it is just incorrect.
It's ridiculous. He's too old for this game, man.
There's two sides to every coin. And is there probably a lot of things that he has to be upset about currently, and I'm
sure.
And
sure.
if it's explained in a way that is understandable and is thought provoking, and is conscious of what is going on around you, it's one thing to convey that information, but just to go off in a media scrum, which wrestling never needed, and to sit next to your quote unquote best friend Tony Khan, and to have it be, you know, this. This debacle of what had happened to the point where the Young Bucks and Cody didn't come out afterwards when they were supposed to come out and talk about the new Trios championship because
they had to cancel that whole thing.
Yeah, and this is what these media scrums are supposed to be about, is to advance storyline and to play off of New Japan's media scrum and it's supposed to be a work and it's supposed to go and further this story. But when you invite real
conflict and stupid stuff.
When you invite real questions, you're allowing these quote unquote reporters, which again they're not reporters. They're no different than us. They have no other sources. They're just there and they're able to speak.
I think someone said, because they do have a history of this. I think someone said there was a Forbes guy there, and Forbes does do some pretty cool reporting on all types of things you wouldn't think that they do reporting on. I don't know if that's. The Forbes guy was there.
So they're supposed
to
be allowed. The way this works is that they're allowed in to listen, but they're not supposed to be asking questions. So much like.
Sure, that could have been a thing.
It's supposed to be a geared media so that the questions are pre-approved. Hey, we're going to talk about this because we want to know about this advanced storyline, or we're only going to talk about, you know, in wrestling space. Wrestling ideas and wrestling events, not outside of wrestling space and events. And we're not going to go into backstage drama and stuff like that.
It's supposed to be a performance within a performance.
Exactly.
And it turned into this work shooty thing, which, by the way, yes. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here even talking about
it worked,
right? Palace intrigue will always garner attention. And of course, that's why we're here today. For me personally, it feels gross. And again, I have to circle back to the fact that this guy had 12 years, 12 and a half years or whatever, to deal with this appropriately. Like, if someone's going to ask you that question, which they're bound to ask you the question about you and Colt Cabana's status or whatever that looks like, professionally or otherwise, you had 12 years to know how to handle that. You had 12 years. And while you were on the couch, Cody Rhodes was doing everything that you wanted to do. Cody Rhodes was manifesting your dream, your vision of what this company now looks like and where you now are. And I don't understand.
And so was Kevin Owens.
And so is Kevin Owens. Yeah, the Kevin Owens of it all is also very interesting and very fun. That's fun.
Yeah,
like the Kevin Owens kind of trolling of it is kind of fun.
Giant backlash in the riff in the wrestling community, because there really is at this point two factions in wrestling of those guys that grew up and cut their nail and their teeth and on the ROH scene and the indie scene, and they were there with Brian, with Punk, you know, Owens was there. And then there's others that were lucky and they got into WWE and they never had to leave. And we're seeing this riff off again between these two factions of, we always had gripes with CM Punk. He's always been a head case anywhere he goes, and he is controlling and very OCD-like, where he needs to be in charge of every company and get his ideas over, and if not, he cries and he cries and he cries, and he makes a scene until he gets what he wants. And then you have others that just did what they were supposed to, and they addressed their ideas, and they manifested what their dreams were, and that's like Kevin Owens and his tweeting out of his match against WrestleMania that he was able to get done when Punk was not able to get it done while he was in WWE.
Yeah, what was it? Punk had lobbied to fight Stone Cold years ago.
Oh, not even.
And he also wanted the main event WrestleMania, in which he did not do. And then
yeah,
KO's like, well, I did it.
Exactly.
This year, in fact.
And it wasn't so much of just lobbying. It was a constant push in the writer's room. And from everything we've heard about the inner details, it was Paul Heyman constantly saying, this is what we need to do, and this is what this guy wants, and Paul Heyman acting at more of an agent towards CM Punk rather than a friend and a quote-unquote manager role. And it's just, that's where you get to see. You get to hear about the background of how Kevin Owens is no fan of Punk and how they both had issues in Ring of Honor and how Punk did not like the way that Kevin Owens looked and thought he was overweight and did not like the way he wrestled.
But was body shaming him
had no gripe with Samoa Joe and the way he looked, because in a shoot fight, I think it's pretty fair to say that Joe was going to win that fight every time.
Right.
So it's funny that the way he picks
shout out to Samoa Joe. He came back. That's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can stay
healthy.
Well,
he showed up on the card. Yeah.
This time again, hopefully.
He's the Ring of Honor television champ. But there you go. And you have, you know, Bryan Danielson, and it's weird to see that you have the same exact.
Everywhere you go, there you are. That's
yeah.
what CM Punk is proving. Everywhere you go, there you are. If you're a miserable person, you're going to be miserable wherever you go. You're going to be unhappy. You're not going to be satisfied. And I'm all for, like, not being satisfied and being ambitious and being driven, but that's not what's happening right now. You're the old guard. You're supposed to be able to pass the torch. You're supposed to be able to help the newest person if they want that help. And right now, you're not demonstrating that. You're taking up all the oxygen. You're taking up all the oxygen. Right now, we should be talking about fun stuff, like the Keith Lee of it all. We should be talking about Scissor Me Daddy. We should be... I mean, there were a lot of good aspects to the show. The show, I think, was fantastic. I like the show through and through. There are things here and there that I didn't like, but that's every wrestling show. By and large, this is a phenomenal show. It was everything it was supposed to be. But again, we're sitting here on this podcast for the first time in a long time, speaking to you people for 25 minutes only about this guy. And it's not fair. It's not cool, man. It's just not cool, man. Like, grow up. Get your shit together. Excuse me. See, now I'm trying to keep this clean. I can't keep it clean. Get your stuff together, man. Like.
Yeah, and we will give a fuller and a much more content-driven deep dive into what we watched.
Oh, yeah, we're back. We are back. The Ring the Bell podcast is absolutely back.
We had to go ahead and get this out as soon as we could, because we've been, for the last 12 hours, this is all we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
And not just because we needed to, but because it's personal to all of us, because we are such good fans, and we were all excited for what could have been and to see.
We're all nerds in the nerdery, and now this bully has come in trying to mess with our energy.
And he's being backed by that Mark Tony Khan.
He's being, man, I'm not, okay. I'm gonna bite my tongue on Tony Khan. That's a multi-part series. if I start right now.
Ring the bell, the Tony Khan story.
The Tony Khan story.
When me and Tony were in school together.
The real, real dark side of the ring. But anyway, shout out to everyone that, you know, is a fan of wrestling. Everyone that came out this weekend, everyone that enjoyed, you know, Hoffman Estates. It's not Chicago, guys. Everyone that enjoyed Hoffman Estates, which is like 2 hours outside the city, shout out for being there. I hope you tipped your waiters and waitresses and everything.
Hopefully
and,
you got kicked out of main event like we did.
Hopefully you did not get kicked out of main events.
Some Holiday Inn Express parking lot brawls like we did all those years ago.
So many years ago. That's the dark side of the ring right there, too.
The real show after the show.
Right, the real show. Anyway, I'm glad we can be here. We excised our demons. Exercised our demons.
Yes,
it's not even our demons. It's his demons, but we're here talking about his demons. So, well, anyway, yeah. CM Punk, dude, get it together. Be better, dude. Be freaking better. It's time. You're too old. It's time. Be better. All right.
If you want something that's on it, better note, check out our bonfire and get some merch. Show off the podcast. Let them know we're back. New shirts will be dropping soon.
That's right. New content, more merchandise, more fun. Anyway, we appreciate you guys for being here with us this half hour. It's been fun. It's been a great weekend. It's just kind of like, is the icing on the cake. This is us signing off. So.
And with that, I bid you adieu. Goodbye and good night.
Bang.